time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And tonight, it's Valentine's Day, so hey, happy Valentine's Day to everybody. And if you're sitting there alone and saying, bah humbug, don't worry, we'll get into that too, okay? But for those of you who are in relationship, you're probably not listening to this show right now, you're probably listening on the archive, so happy belated Valentine's Day, and I hope you had a great time. Tonight, we are going to talk about how to love others. And before we get into that, let me first mention that the show is brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, starlights.com. That's starlights.com. And alternativecancer.us. Now, both of those sites are really important if you or someone you know and care about has cancer. The first site, the Starlights, has more than, you know, links to cancer. It has quite a few links to and products for sale that are new age and, you know, really wonderful music and things like that. So that's kind of more of a lifestyle thing. Whereas the alternativecancer.us has almost 1,000 pages, maybe they are 1,000 pages by now, on how to treat various forms of cancer in a more natural, kind, and loving manner. Usually that means more successful, too. So please do check those out if you haven't checked them out yet. Now, tonight, we're going to build on what I talked about last week, which was loving yourself, basically. Well, actually, that was last month, loving self. We talked about loving others, and one of the best things to remember when you're thinking about loving others is that first you have to love yourself. I've mentioned that before. Now, why is that so important? The first reason it's so important is because how are you going to know if it's really love if you don't even love yourself? Duh. So just, you know, think about that for a minute. Okay, once you have an idea of what love really is, though, it's love is deep. Love never goes away, real love. Now, that doesn't mean that in your relationship you might not split up. It just means you'll still love that person no matter what happened. Now, if you think that sucks, yeah. And my friend out there with a K is probably sitting there going, yep. It sucks. And, you know, that's just the way it is, okay? You can love someone and they can still drive you crazy. Absolutely, completely buggy, okay? But that doesn't mean you're going to stop your love for them if it's real love. You're still going to love them. You may not stay with them because you may decide you want to love them from afar, which is a phrase that I have used a few times in my life. It's like, I love you, dude. Now I'm going to love you from afar because I can't love you up close and personal because it hurts too much. So I'm not suggesting that people should become doormats. I'm also not suggesting that you should run off at the first sign of trouble. As you know, I do couples counseling, amongst other things. And one of the most important things when you're doing couples counseling is to help people to remember why they fell in love in the first place. And also to start to see that it's not one-sided. It's always two-sided. You know, it takes two to tango, as they say. It takes two to have a fist fight, too. So when you're looking at your relationship, you don't want to look through rose-colored glasses, and you don't want to look through black glasses either, okay? You want to look through clear, crystal clear glasses. What's really going on? And so we talked about that a little bit last week with you know, how important it is to first check yourself and see, you know, how are you responding? Are you acting or reacting? If you are acting, that's a conscious choice. It means that you've been able to observe yourself and what you're doing and what it all means. You basically step outside of yourself for a couple seconds, take a look at what's going on. And I'm sorry, I'm laughing at the fast blast. And anyway, so you're going to look at what's going on outside of yourself, and then you're going to choose how you're going to act. A reaction comes from your emotions. Reaction is where somebody slings something at you and you just respond, bam, you know. It's like, okay, now it's on. And that's not a conscious response, okay? When you are acting consciously, you do the step back thing. Step back, listen to what was just said or written or whatever. And then you go on to choose how you're going to respond. And you're going to do it from a point of truth, honesty within yourself. And I can tell you this gets confusing to people who are complete reactors. And I practiced this for a long time. In fact, I've taught many people how to get into this state of being. And the people who have no clue about how to do that and have never done it and have simply been reactors all their lives, they have said, oh, well, you didn't mean what you said to me. And it's like, no, I meant exactly what I said to you. I knew exactly how it was going to hit you. I knew what was going to happen after that. I saw the whole picture because I stepped outside of myself. We can all do this. And one of the times when this happens naturally is when your life is in danger. You will find that you have stepped outside of yourself and everything slows down. And when it all goes into slow-mo, you have plenty of time to decide how you're going to act. Now, one of the most important places to do that is in a love relationship, because if you don't do that and you go strictly into reaction, you're going to be lucky if you stay together at all, because eventually it's going to wear on the other person and on you, and you're going to say, I've had enough of this crap, and you're going to want to move on. The problem is, you know that saying, everywhere you go, there you are? That's the problem. You're going to take it to the next relationship. And after you've had a whole bunch of relationships that are very similar, and they all fail, and they all have the same tooth marks on them, you start to go, wow, maybe it's me. Maybe there's something there that I kind of could change. And that's your first clue. Okay? Now, before we get into a little bit more of that, let me first address the issue of codependency, because this is where this comes in with reactors a lot. It's great to be interdependent. Not so great to be codependent, because if you are codependent, then you're tied to that other person in unhealthy ways. So that's the simplest way I can put codependency. Okay, in other words, let me give you an example of some relationships you've probably either had or know someone who's had, where the one person will be a screaming lunatic and the other person will be the victim. And, I mean, there has to be those two sides, you know, for that kind of stuff to happen. And people will look at the victim and say, why do you stay with that screaming idiot? And then you go, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Oh, you know, they're so wonderful and I love them so much. No, you don't. You're codependent. You're getting a charge out of it. So what you're doing is you're fighting for energy. You're fighting back and forth. And it's like little kids, you know, they're acting out. Sometimes bad attention is better than no attention at all. And I think I've given this, well, I've probably given this example many times, but, you know, if somebody is doing something that's the equivalent of poking you continuously, and yeah, I know. Don't go there, okay? Take your minds out of the gutter for a second. When somebody is like poking you in the arm and you say, don't do that, and they get this look on their face like, oh, yeah, make me. And then they poke you again and you say, stop doing that. And then they poke you again and you say, if you don't stop doing that, I am going to haul off and smack you. And then they're like, oh, yeah. And then they poke you again, and you haul off and smack them. And then they collapse in tears, going, oh, I can't believe you hit me. What do you mean you can't believe I hit you? I just told you three times I was going to hit you. Like, what more warning do you want? Well, that same thing happens verbally. And people think it's not as serious as a physical fight, but it is just as serious because it does damage. It does damage to your heart. And with women, I've told you this before. If you've been a long-term listener, you've heard me say before that one of the smartest things that I ever heard my teacher Torkum say is don't ever get a woman upset with you. And never, ever, ever hurt a woman if you can possibly help it. Because women never forget. It's not that we have memories like elephants. What we have is a very developed limbic system. And the problem is that we can't let it go. See, guys can let this stuff go. Women, we're not wired that way. We will remember it as if it's happening fresh all over again every time that memory comes back. And that is horrible, and that will destroy your relationship. So what I suggest to the men is, first of all, before you haul off and react and say something really stupid, and believe me, I've had my share of stupid things said to me by men. Just stop, okay? Close your mouth, zip it up, contemplate what you're about to say, and decide to say it another day, not in the heat of the moment, if you have to say it, okay? And myself, I mean, I used to be a violent reactor. Man, I'll tell you, I was ready, man. It was like, bring it on. We are ready now. Bam! Let's go to it. Well, that is not the way to have a decent relationship. So what I learned to do is I learned to check myself and go, this is either hurting me or it's really getting me angry. And I'm going to say something. And when I say something, because of who I am and the way I learned to fight and to debate, if you want to call it that, is I learned to do it from a point of absolute logic. The problem with that is if you're that type of a reactor that it comes to you naturally and you always say the one thing that's going to get somebody right between the eyes, they will not be able to forget that. And this includes men, okay? So know who you are, know the kind of damage that you can inflict, and stop yourself. This is the secret to a good relationship. Because 9 times out of 10, most people are going to say things they didn't mean. They're just going to say something that they know would hurt someone. And then that 1/10 of the time, it's somebody who is completely aware of what they're saying, will zing you right between the eyes with the absolute truth. You're not going to like it. You're going to call them all kinds of names. And you're going to go away for 3 days, think about it, and then come back and say, oh, wow, you were right. That's what happens with logic. Because at some point you have to admit that what that person said to you is true. They just noticed it, and you didn't want them to notice it, and that's why you're mad. Now, it has nothing to do with thinking that anybody's perfect. None of us are perfect. It's like we're all here in the sandbox together, kids. You know, if we were perfect, we wouldn't be here. Which brings me to the next point. Relationships are not supposed to work. So get that out of your head. If you have this unrealistic expectation that your relationship is supposed to be perfect because you guys love each other so much. Oh, boy. You got a lot to learn. Because relationships are not perfect, okay? They're not meant to be. Relationships are all about learning to get along with other people, whether it's a love relationship, a business relationship, a family relationship, friend relationship, whatever it is. It's all about learning to accept that other person for who they are and learning to accept yourself for who you are. Now, that does not mean it's going to be an easy time. Which brings me to another point. We're going to talk about, how should I put this? We're going to talk about some difficult things tonight because it's important that we all start to understand these things at a really deep level so that we can help ourselves and we can get up to that next level of consciousness. So this is not going to be a real lighthearted show. Okay? This is going to be about the deep things that we don't want to talk about. We certainly don't like the feelings that come with them. But they're important to get through if you really want to have a good relationship. And let me just jump aside here for a second, digress into the point of perfect relationships. Everybody wants that perfect relationship because, you know, we all just want to love and be loved in return. But like I said, they are not going to be perfect because they aren't meant to be. They're meant to be a lesson that you are sharing with someone else. And you will attract to you the perfect person for that lesson that you really need to learn. And boy, they can be some real jerks, okay? They may seem like they're wonderful at first, but they could turn out to be the biggest jerks in the world. Why? Because you said you wanted to learn that lesson. Now, this is something that I've talked about on other shows, and what comes to mind is Wild Attraction with people that wrote that book. They talk about that a lot. That's what their specialty is. And basically, you're going to go out and you're going to attract things. If you are a victim, you're going to have like this little neon sign over your head in the spiritual realm going, "I like to play victim. Who wants to be the abuser?" And you're going to look around and there'll be an abuser, sure enough, in the crowd. And the abuser will go, "Hey, you're pretty cute." And you go, "Oh, wow, you're pretty cute too. Let's get it on." And then you're off. And then you wonder why this happened. Well, it's because you're broadcasting it. But it's the lesson that you need to learn. And one of the hardest things I ever did was I prayed for my soulmate. And actually beyond that, I prayed for my twin flame. And those of you that know me know that my third husband was my twin flame. That was not an easy relationship because until you are almost at the level of a saint, twin flame relationships are horrendous because they are the exact opposites. Same coin, exact opposite sides. So, for instance, my library was a perfect example. And people cracked up all the time. You know, whoever was standing there in the library waiting for the other person. My side was one, and my husband's side was the other. His side was almost twice as much as my side. And it was all about guns, deception, how to kill and maim somebody in three simple steps, airplanes, subterfuge, torture. I mean, that was all his side, okay? Then you'd look at my side, and it was all arts and crafts, healing, spirituality, enlightenment. And people would just crack up. They'd go yin, yang. That's what happens with the twin flame relationship. And we fought like the proverbial cats and dogs. And it was just difficult. I don't think 24 hours went by without it being the most difficult relationship I've ever had in my life. And when I got done with that, after he passed away, I said, "God, I appreciate that I got to be with my twin flame and I will always love him. Don't send me any more like that." You know, that about killed me. It was really, really difficult. There was tremendous, incredible love there, a connection like no other, but it was really difficult. The only way I was able to stay in that relationship was because I understand what I'm talking to you about tonight. And I apply those things in my life. And not just in that relationship, but in my business and friendship relationships as well. It all has to start with that point of honesty and the point of love within your heart for yourself and for other people. So think about this for a minute. If you are on the other side, say heaven, you're in heaven. And you have your gang there, you know, your BFFs. And so everybody's hanging out together. And then you see this part of the game that you want to be involved in. You all decide you're going to incarnate together on Earth. And you decide, okay, here's my script. In this life, I'm going to do this. And I want you, and you to help me learn this lesson. Now you pick a couple people that are going to be pretty easy on you. and you pick one or two people that are going to be the biggest hard asses around, and they are not going to let up on you no matter what. And you will hate them when you're in this earth life. You will absolutely hate them. But you will learn the lesson. Then you get back into heaven and you go, damn, that was tough. I am so glad to be home. And then the one that you hated comes up to you and you are all love and hugs and kisses again. Because that one was the strongest one. That was the one that helped you to learn the lesson you came to learn no matter what. So you don't have to go repeat it. So one of my favorite things is to confront things head on and be done with it. So I learned a long time ago, you just torture yourself otherwise. So in a relationship, you've got to have honesty. Now, I'm not talking about complete idiot honesty. In other words, you know, if you have messed up, you do not need to go running to your loved one and tell them all about it, especially if they're not at the point of near sainthood where they can forgive you. If you messed up, you messed up. Okay. But think about what you're doing. And I'm talking now about affairs. If you go off and you have an affair, and your spouse or significant other is one who does not have affairs and would be absolutely devastated if they knew that you had an affair, then what good are you going to do to tell them about it? Now, I'm asking this because, like I said, I've done a lot of couples counseling. Now, you might feel better that you came clean, but you will have destroyed that person. So there are times when it's just best not to say anything and just realize, wow, you know, when I did this, I didn't realize the kind of hurt that I could cause. And one of our lessons here is to be harmless. And so you have a choice then. Yeah, you can make yourself feel better by coming clean. But if you're going to destroy somebody else and destroy their trust, why would you do that? So I'm not saying you should lie throughout your life, but just, you know, be careful who you're talking to, you know. And, you know, don't do the mea culpa thing, beating your breast so bad that you, you know, destroy your breastbone, okay? Use a little common sense. Other than that, you know, I mean, everybody can get through things. And you just have to look at it very carefully. Avoid codependency like the plague. Codependency will never lead to something good. Codependency is a sickness. Now, I'm not talking about people who are together where, you know, one does one thing and one does the other thing. Part of the partnership of any relationship is you come together with people who are able to bring something to the table that you're not, that you need. But when you get to the point where you are leaning on them so heavily that you are not progressing, then, or you're making them feel guilty about it or anything like that, or overwhelmed or, you know, whatever, then you're in a codependent relationship. It's far better to be interdependent, to where each person makes their own choice. So let me give you an example. When you're in an argument with someone, your loved one, there's that point for women, every woman out there is going to understand exactly when I say this, where we say, fine. And at that point, men, you better back up. Because once you hear that word, oh, you are in deep doo-doo. Okay? And the whole reason is because everybody reaches their point where they have had enough. And at that point, there's going to be a change made. So the person who has uttered that word, which is the other four-letter F word, when they say fine, you better know there's going to be a change coming. Because that's it. You just step across that line, that uncrossable line. Now, I went through this with my relationship with my twin flame, because he would say things to me that you should never say to your wife if you want to continue to be married. And me, you know, understanding what was going on, I pointed that out to him and said, you don't have to believe me. Go ask your married friends. You tell them what you said to me, and they're going to tell you, oh my God, you don't ever say that to your wife. He didn't believe me, so he went and checked. And then he came back, and he was a little bit changed. Let me give you an example of some of the things. Don't ever say the D word, divorce. If you threaten divorce, you are in breach of contract in a spiritual manner that is devastating. So you cannot threaten that word, okay? Because if you do, you're not playing with a full deck, okay? You're going into crazy land. It's not that you might not get divorced, but you don't hold that over someone's head. So what you do instead is you kind of step back and you look at it and you go, really? Well, what would be the proper response? And one of my favorite things that I did, because my late husband didn't understand this stuff. He was kind of mentally retarded in a way. Well, emotionally retarded. A lot of men are, but he was definitely emotionally retarded. And it was just kind of funny because he started saying something to me. He said, you know, you could walk right out that door. And I stopped and I went, whoa, he's about to give me the D word. And I just looked at him and I said, that's right. I could walk right out that door. He said, you could pack up all your stuff and be gone. I said, I could pack up all my stuff and be gone. And then I stopped him and I said, wait 1 minute. I said, let me mention something to you. If you tell me to leave, I will be gone. And if you say the divorce word, that's what's going to happen. Because I deal from a point of honesty. So you better watch what you say in the next few minutes. That completely turned around everything. Because I could see, I stepped back, I could see where this was going. And so that stopped. And the thing that was really funny was we had that conversation many times after, not without the explanation though. But we had, you could walk right out that door. Yes, I could walk right out that door. By about the fourth line, I was usually laughing. And I couldn't stay mad because it was a point of honesty and a point of clarity brought into the relationship at the very first time that it happened. This is not something that you wait for, you know, 3 years down the line, you know, unless you warn your partner that you're going to bring something up. But basically, it's like, no, let's be honest here, okay? You want a good relationship. You want the kind of relationship that will bring you the greatest bliss, the greatest happiness in your life. This is the kind of stuff you have to do. And you have to love that person enough to see where they're coming from and to give them space when they need space. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my space is usually about 3 days. And if I am really, really mad, 3 days, and then I can sit down and I can write a letter. I can talk about it after that point. I will not go into something really horrendous on a reactive basis. I just won't do it because I know how I am. I know me. And I know what I can say to people. So I just back off of it. And it's very seldom that I have to go longer than 3 days. I had one thing that happened with a so-called friend years ago that made me so furious that it was a month and a half before I could say something to her. I was livid. And if I had seen her face to face, I might have gotten physical. And I was just so angry. And I was, every time I went to pick up the phone, I went, nope, I can't do it. Because this person was so clueless and did something that was unacceptable in any friendship and was, it just went beyond what even your enemies would do to you sometimes. And this person did this all on purpose over money and, you know, basically reneging on a deal and, you know, left me holding the bag. And this was really, really awful. Month and a half, people. And finally, I was able to call her and say, you know what? You were out of line. And she would not accept that. And I went, okay, that's it. Because anytime you screw somebody over for money, in my book, that's the end. I've had it, you know. I can understand people making mistakes. I can understand people being in need. I cannot understand somebody doing anything they can to basically steal money from other people. I don't get it, and I won't allow that. And when you consider how much of that goes on in this world, it's really scary. If that goes on in your relationship, let me tell you, there's going to be problems, no matter what kind of relationship it is, but especially a love relationship. If you're in a marriage and you have kids and this kind of stuff's going on, I'm talking about gambling debts and things like that, or porno debts. You know, I counseled one guy whose wife was the breadwinner. She was quite wealthy. And he basically got a job with a friend of hers. And he was using her credit card, and he was out on the road working. And so once a week, he would use her credit card and rack up about $1,000 in expenses to this strip club. And then he started taking the stripper home. And, you know, so we're talking $4,000 a month this guy's spending using his wife's credit card, thinking she's not going to notice. Oh, boy. Yeah, that was divorce city for that guy. And, you know, here's the thing. You know, when you do that kind of stuff, you really want out of your relationship. You know, you don't really want to be there. You know, you don't treat people like that and expect to have a good relationship. But that could be a whole other show. So basically, when I'm talking about learning to love other people, and I'm talking about how to be in a relationship with them, it comes down to honesty with yourself first, then honesty with them, and kindness. If you love someone, don't you want them to be kind to you? And then that means you need to be kind to them. And not sickening sweet, but just, you know, kind. Be considerate. And be gentle with each other. Because you hold each other's hearts. And if you wound a heart, it's very difficult to get it open again. And there are so many people who have wounded hearts walking around out there. And they've closed up and built walls around their hearts because they've had hurt after hurt after hurt. And it's just too difficult for them to take a chance anymore. And that's a problem, because you know what? We're at that stage in our evolution where we need our hearts open. We need to have better control of our emotions. Not to be emotionless, but to have better control. Act instead of react. And we need to stop having this feeling of being trod underfoot all the time. And if you look around at what's happening now, especially in the United States, but throughout the world, I mean, the reason that all this stuff is coming down is because people haven't been doing their lessons. You know, it's time for humanity to change. It's time to harvest the crop of people who are ready, who have open hearts, and who truly love themselves and others, and indeed the whole creation. It's time to harvest those and take them into the next level, the higher level, where they'll be out of this veil of tears. So which side do you want to be on? I know I want to be on the higher side. I'm just afraid that I might have agreed to stay here and help some more. Because when you're on the other side, you agree to anything. You know, it's like it's all easy. But on this side, yeah, it's a little tough. So now when you're in your love relationship, let's get into that one since it's Valentine's Day. There's usually some kind of disparity between the two. You know, one will be romantic, the other one won't be. One will have maybe a high libido, the other one has no libido. Okay, that can usually be fixed. That's a hormonal problem. So time to go to the doctor. But there are other things, like, you know, one person is an early riser and the other one's a night owl. Have a little respect for each other. You know, I, being a night owl myself, I'm not one of those people that bounds out of bed. I kind of slide out of bed, limp into the bathroom, take care of the morning rituals, and then I'm grumpy. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't even want to talk to the cat, you know. I just want to go have a cup of coffee and sit down and wake up, you know, gently. But I've had roommates throughout life who were morning people who leapt out of bed and were so happy and said, good morning. And I wanted to backhand them as they came down the hall. You know, it was like, oh, my God, that went right through my, you know, from ear to ear, right through my brain. It's like, oh, that's painful. And that's just because some people wake up different than others. So, you know, start with stuff like that. If you are the romantic one in the relationship, then sometimes you're going to have to tell the non-romantic one what you want. And vice versa, you know? Sometimes you have to tell them what you don't want. And, you know, if you don't get that stuff out there right away, then it's your own fault, you know, if you have to put up with behaviors that you don't like. You know, if it drives you crazy that your spouse leaves the cap off of the toothpaste, what you can do is say, dear, you know, I love you. And I got to tell you something that I need your help on. Now, women, if this is you talking to the guy, there's ways to do this. What you do is you tell them the job that you need done. They need to solve problems. That's what guys do. Whereas women, we just need to talk about it. So men don't want to listen either. So you may have to call up a girlfriend and go, oh my God, he left the cap off the toothpaste again. You know how many times you know, that's what women do. But men like to solve problems. So you can say, you know, I'm not telling you what to do. I am just wanting to mention that that little behavior, for some reason, just drives me crazy. Maybe it's because I don't like the idea that stuff could get stuck on there and I'm putting it in my mouth. Or maybe I'm tired of cleaning up the sink because the stuff goes gushy all over the place. I don't know. You know, you figure it out. It's your relationship. But basically, give the guy a job. And men, you may have to listen to your women. So, either way, find the way that communication is going to work for you. Because in any relationship, communication is key. And communication through the heart is the best thing of all. When you can learn how to do that, all of your relationships will be successful. And you will stop dragging yourself through the barbed wire with your relationships. And I can tell you as one, you know, I leave a litter of friends behind me sometimes because I will not go on doing the things that I used to do. Now, this may sound harsh. Let me explain. As you move up in your evolution, your spiritual evolution, if you have friends that are hangers-on, maybe from your childhood or your college years or whatever, who have not changed, but you've moved ahead, you've progressed spiritually, then it's toxic for you to stay around them. And we all have these choices of when we are going to say enough to the toxic relationship. I can tell you for me, it's taken a lifetime, but I finally gotten to that point where I will not tolerate it at all because I don't want to be miserable. I just want to be able to deal with people honestly, with love and harmony. That's it. And if I got people that don't want to play the game around me, then they need to go away. And so a lot of times I'll just, you know, that's it, boy, gone. And, you know, people might think that's harsh, but it's actually better for both sides because the other side will be going, wow, what did I do? And if they ask, I tell them. But I always tell people, don't ask me if you don't want to know because I have no problems telling people what the truth is. I practiced it for a long time. But I finally realized that I was not willing to put myself into hurtful situations anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not out there to be in further relationships with people. It just means that I have a better handle on what I'm willing to allow into my life. So that's self-love. Love of others means that you give your heart and your honesty, the truth of your being to the other person with every interaction that you have with them. And that's pretty scary if you're not used to doing that. But when you do that, you will have such loyal friends and such a strong partnership in whatever you're doing, especially love partnership, you will have a much, much stronger bond than is ever possible out there in the so-called normal world. So that's what I'm suggesting. So if you move into interdependence, you get honest about what you need. Not in a blaming manner. You don't do the blame thing. You just say, this is what I need. Do you choose to go along with it? And I always laugh. I always give this example of my mother. My mother, I swear, Lily Tomlin, the comedian, must have seen my mother somewhere along the line. Because she would do this thing where she would have these run-on sentences, and she'd go on, you know, barely taking a breath, and they go, and, but then, and, of course, well, I don't know, though, because this stuff would go on and on and on. And, you know, I would ask for a yes or no answer, and I'd get 30 minutes of, yeah, well, but, because, and, well, but then there's this, and, well, I don't know. And I was like, oh, my God, just get to the point, will you? Cut to the chase, yes or no. I don't want to know if you're going to feel guilty if you say no. All I want to know is, what do you want to do in your heart? Move out of your head into your heart and be honest. What do you want to do? And so I would ask two things. If I need something, I ask people, can you help me? Do you want to help me? Or vice versa. You know, either way, it doesn't matter. That's all I need to know. If the answer is yes, that's fine. If the answer is no, that's okay too. There's no repercussions. Because when you're dealing from a point of truth within yourself, you want other people to be that way too. Because that's where the freedom is. And that's how you get into deeper and deeper love with other people. Not just romantic love, but true caring, compassion. So an interdependent relationship deals from that level of consciousness to where you love that other person, you care about them deeply as a person. They don't have to perform to your expectations, and you don't have to perform to theirs. You come together at a mutually agreed space, okay? You decide what you're going to do for each other, and you know, you don't have to know it all up front, but you make it up as you go along. You know, feel it out. And then just go with flow, but be honest with each other. And you'll have a far more valuable relationship. Now, for those of you, since we're 15 minutes to the end of the show, for those of you who are sitting there alone and wondering what the hell happened and how come you're not out on Valentine's Day, and, you know, the aloneness thing can come from a number of reasons. You know, part of it being work. I mean, if your loved one has to work, well, sometimes, you know, somebody's got to be out there doing the work. And, you know, so have your Valentine's Day the day before, the day after, or the week after, or whatever. You know, make your own Valentine's Day. But if you're wondering, how do I get love into my life beyond loving self first and then learning to love others? I'm going to give you a little ritual now, but I'm going to give you a story first, okay? And this always cracked me up. You know that saying, be careful what you wish for because you might get it? Well, this little exercise that I'm going to give you to do to bring life into your life, it will bring love into your life. Just make sure that what you've asked for is what you really want, because it can be really funny. For instance, I had this one friend who was telling me, he says, oh yeah, he said, you know, I wanted a girlfriend who was either a teacher or a nurse. I wanted her to have long hair, and I wanted her to be well endowed. And he said, and you know what? I did this little ritual, and he said, and I got her. And, you know, I really enjoy her. She's a school teacher. She's got waist-long hair. And he said, well, I forgot to mention, though, that I wanted her to have, you know, brown hair or blonde hair or whatever it was. He said, she has gray hair. And he said, I forgot to mention that. And at that point, I started chuckling because I knew it was coming next. And he said, and I also forgot to mention that her being well endowed should be natural and not silicone. At that point, I about fell over. I was laughing so hard. And I said, well, see, there you go. be careful what you ask for. And you did not get your grocery list down there. So I had my grocery list with my late husband, my twin flame. I had on there, I wanted my twin flame. I had the top three things that I had to have in this man, and the top three things that I absolutely would not have in this man. It was like, these are deal breakers, okay, for sure. Then I had a list of about 10 or 20 other things in between with pluses and minuses. Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty damn scary when you meet that person who fits your laundry list to a T. Everything, absolutely everything that I wanted on that list showed up in my husband. Scared the crap out of me. You know, I just kind of sat there and went, gulp. Of course, there were a lot of things on there that I hadn't mentioned, but you know, you get whatever you get, right? But I thought that was so funny. And I was his laundry list, basically. Well, of course, you would expect that because we're twin flames, you know. So it was pretty funny because I had never even come close to having my little laundry list fulfilled. And neither had he. But both of us had put there that we wanted the perfect person for us. Well, perfect person is your other half. And it's just not a fun relationship, that's all, until you're about ready to be sainted. You know, at that point, it becomes amazing. But you got to work at it to get there. Okay, so here's another example of this little ritual I'm going to give you. This friend of mine, we had been friends for about, 7 years at that point, and had traveled around a little bit and, you know, went out looking for UFOs in Sedona and moved to Sedona together and did all this kind of stuff, you know, and just roommates, you know, friends, worked out at the gold mine, you know, just having fun. And I was off doing something. I think I moved back to Nevada or something. And she had done this little ritual. And all of a sudden she realizes I moved back in because she needed a roommate. So I went, okay, so I moved back in. And we were sitting there talking one night. And she said, oh, my God, I just realized something. You're the perfect person that I had on my list, but I forgot to specify a man. And I just looked at her. I went, oh, you're in trouble if I'm the perfect person on your list. You know, because if you find a guy that's like me, he will not put up with you. So you better revise your list. You know, you'd be in big trouble. And so I helped her to put her list together again. But it was really funny because she said, oh, man. She said, I can't believe this. She said, here I've been sitting there waiting and going, how come this didn't work? But she said, it did work. But it was you. But I didn't want you. So be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. All right. So here's the ritual. It's really a fun little thing to do. So what you do is you write your little list. And remember, you got to have the top three things that are absolute must-haves. Maybe it's five things. I don't know. Whatever that you absolutely have to have in that person that you want to attract into your life. And then you put the deal breakers at the bottom. And what you do is you don't say, I don't want this. What you say is, I refuse to accept this in my person that I want to attract. I refuse to accept this. And then you write down those things that you refuse to accept. And I'm not talking about little piddly things. I'm talking about things that you just can't. It's like, oh, absolutely not. Okay? So you write all that down, and then you write other things that you would like to have. Be very precise. Be very careful. If you're a woman and you want a man, you say, I want to attract this type of man into my life. And you can even make a wish board, you know, and put somebody on there that resembles what you're looking for. I've done this before and it works. And it's kind of interesting because be careful of the picture, you know. If it's a construction worker and you don't want a construction worker, don't put that picture up there. Look for a guy in the business suit or, you know, a fireman or, you know, whatever it is you're going for. Same thing for men. If you're looking for the right woman, be very specific, okay? And be realistic. And really go into your heart when you do this so that you get a relationship that's going to work for you. So you write all this down. And what you do is you write it in ink that is not indelible. You want to write it in like a watercolor ink. You know, pens where the ink will bleed. And you can get those from a stationery store or an art supply. And you're going to put all those things down on a little piece of paper, print small. And then you're going to kind of roll it up and you're going to stick it in a glass and you're going to fill the glass to over the height of the paper with water and stick it in a sunny windowsill. And you're going to leave it there until the water is completely evaporated. And then you're going to take out that piece of paper, which will be very dry and parchment-like by then, and you're going to burn it. And while you do this, you're going to be all the time thanking the universe, the source, for sending the right person to you. And you can do that every day when you get up, too. When you get up, you look at the glass and you say, universe or source or God, whatever you want to call it, thank you for taking my order and looking for the right person for me and sending them to me, because I know they're on the way. You got my list. Thank you. And just know in your heart that that person is coming. And then they'll show up. Now, if for some reason they don't show up, there's been a short circuit in your ordering system. And you can fix that, but you're going to have to start all over again. For instance, if you write a bunch of stuff down and then you decide, oh, you know what, that's not really what I want. Here's what I want. Well, then you're going to have to do a whole new glass, okay? You're going to have to do a whole new list, whole new ritual, and, you know, that's what it takes. So the other thing you can do is you can sprinkle some rose quartz crystals in the glass, because rose quartz stands for love. And, you know, whatever else that comes to you that you might like to do, you might want to put some rose essence in the water as well. So you just want to bring the whole idea of bringing love into your life, someone who's really going to appreciate you, but not in an obsessive manner. You don't want codependency. Codependency is illness, okay? What you want is interdependency. You want someone who will really love and appreciate you as you are and grow with you. And one of the problems I ran into through my life is I've got my foot on the gas pedal as I'm going through life. Or I press the fast forward button on the video of life, okay? And I go by leaps and bounds. And so I leave a lot of people behind because they're not ready to move that fast. And that's okay. And if that happens to you, understand that it's you, okay? This is the way you are proceeding in life. And unless you can find someone who's willing to leap ahead like you are, you're going to leave people behind. And I can remember when I met my late husband, he still had friends from grade school. That flabbergasted me. Like, how could you still have friends from grade school? I don't even still have friends from college. You know, any of my times in college. And the whole reason is because they were happy being where they were. And I wasn't. I wanted to leap forward. I want to see what's around the next bend. I want to get into that higher dimension, and I got my finger on that fast forward button. So just be aware that if you're one of those people who's moving fast, at some point that person you're calling into your life is going to be left behind. And that's okay. But make sure you put that on your list that it's okay with them if that happens. Or ask for someone who will move forward on the same path that you're on. So think about these things. And as you think about them and as you get them more finalized in your mind, and you can do a lot of lists, you know, cross them out, look at them, you know, contemplate them. Maybe take a couple of weeks or a month to do your list. There's no hurry. Just take your time, write your list, make sure it's succinct and it's the way that you want it, and then do that little ritual. It's very simple, and it works. And when you do that and you get that person, go back and look over your list. And you'll be shocked. And you can do this with a wish board, too. Like I said, you know, I put all the qualities that I wanted on a wish board. Now, this was not with my late husband. This was with a previous engagement. And I had all these things on there And I had, and the reason I said, you know, be careful of what you ask for with your pictures is because I put a picture on there, not thinking about what the guy really looked like. It was more like I was just looking for general body type, you know. And I had a picture on there of a construction worker. And so what I got was a minor welder who was never around because he was up at the Nevada test site all the time, underground, because he was a miner and a welder. And so I sat back after that relationship imploded. I kind of sat back and went, oh, well, look at that. I was not precise enough in what I wished for. And so my next list was much better. And so you learn through trial and error. And some of the errors are pretty funny. Hopefully they're not devastating. So hopefully that has helped you guys. And, you know, you'll have a better Valentine's Day next year. Or maybe even this year yet, if your honey's coming home after work. You know, just make it fun. Valentine's Day is not about the presents you give or get. It's about the love in your hearts. And it's about returning to that childlike innocence of just being in that space of being loved. Now, if you've gotten sexy lingerie or something as a gift, then it's about more than childlike innocence, okay? That's okay, too. You know, it's a spot.